Well, if you could open up with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. While you are turning there, I was asked to make an announcement slash reminder. This Saturday, which is the 20th of September, coming up later this week, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. is going to be the women's conference here at the church. Just a wonderful time for the ladies of the body to be able to come together, be built up in the Word of God, to be encouraged. Even as a husband, many times that we've gotten to talk about things that the Lord's begun to reveal and teach my wife through that time has been encouraging, and our whole household begins to build up our household in that. There is lunch as a part of it, but there is no charge. Correct, Miss Kat? Just making sure. Did I miss anything with that? Okay. Thank you. 9 a.m. here at the church, a time of fellowship and study. I know the theme, if you were to look on the reminder in the back, is family unity. Great verse in Psalm 133, 1, behold how good, how pleasant it is for brothers to live in unity. What a great message. I'm already looking forward to hearing about what you ladies sing in God's Word this week. With that said, if you could look with me here in James chapter 1, I've been thinking in, you know, different times, as I've shared with you before, the Lord will kind of have themes and things that he'll begin to bring up as a pastor in my life throughout the week. And I'll go, okay, this is kind of coming up time and time again. And so the whole thing of trials and difficulties coming in our life, we've encountered a lot. And we've seen it not only within our own household, we've seen it within the body, we've seen it within our nation in days recently. And there's a statement made in verse 2 of James chapter 1 with this word, consider. And so there's a thought that begins to come in. And if we're just being honest in our natural way of thinking, we encounter various trials, we're not considering it all joy. And so the question begins to come, how does this begin to come about? If you were to go a little bit farther in verse 5, it'll begin to say that if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, there's a great fundamental truth right off the bat that if we're lacking in anything, in this case, wisdom, who do we go to? Well, we should always be going to God, right? It begins to describe his heart, gives to all generously, without reproach, doesn't begin to rebuke or make you feel bad for coming to him. He's desiring as sons and daughters that we go to our dad when we need wisdom, and it'll be given to him. But there's a but statement in verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You know, there's another fundamental truth when it comes to believing. And this is something that we've been taught from God's Word and Pastor Gary through the years, that you believe the one that you love. You love somebody, you believe him. In addition, you believe they love you, you're going to believe him. And it's not just me saying that. If you were to go with me into 1 Peter in chapter 1, which if you're familiar with the context of 1 Peter chapter 1, if not, just back up in verse 6, and it'll tell you, in this you greatly rejoice, when, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Very similar setting in that, right? We're in this setting of trials beginning to come in. We'll talk about the proof of your faith in verse 7, and how much greater that is than that which is perishable, and it's really found to be real through times of fire beginning to come in, times of testing. But if you go down with me to verse 8, it says, though you have not seen him, what do? You love him. What's the result of that? Though you do not see him now, but what? Believe in him. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You can't separate belief from love. And ultimately, if you turn back with me into James chapter 1, there is this sense you go, okay, well then how does the doubting begin to come in? How does the tossing and turning begin to come in? Well, what we begin to see is if our affection and our love isn't fully focused just on him, if it's not fully focused just on Christ. Let me give you an example. Maybe there's a part of us that's maybe worried about the approval of man. There's a part of us been loving that. Maybe our circumstances, maybe wanting to preserve that, our way of life. Maybe there's a part of us beginning to love that. if that begins to come in, and in any way we're doubting that what God has for us, what he's telling us in that situation, is not only what's best, but it's the only right answer. Well, there's a reason if our affections are drawn around there, they call it an emotional roller coaster. Well, if you've ever been on a roller coaster, I can't do some of them, the one that just drops straight down. Has my stomach in knots. Well, that's the same way for many of us being tossed on the surf of the sea. Driven and tossed, you're pulled in so many different ways of affections. He's going, if you would just love him. And, you know, if you would go with me to chapter 4, he begins to make it clear that you can't just say, okay, well, I love God, but I still kind of love some of these other things, or maybe this other way of thinking over here. It's pretty clear in James chapter 4. If you go with me to verse 4, he uses a pretty strong word. He says, you adulteresses. That's pretty strong language, if you ask me. But he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If there's any part of us as we begin to encounter these trials that's holding on to an affection or care of anything other than God and focus fully on him, there's going to be doubts that begin to come in because there's maybe another way of thinking that we have. Maybe there's what the world would begin to tell me to do. Maybe it's what I've been accustomed to. Maybe it's what other people are going to begin to think. Rather than, do we just begin to let go of that and go, God, whatever it is that you would have for me, I believe it's good. I believe that you'll give generously without reproach. And a part of loving him is I actually want what he has in store for me. I actually desire that in my life. If you drop on down with me, we know there's a tendency throughout the book of James as it would talk to allow anger to begin to come in. It tells us in verse 20, though, that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So there's going to be times that difficulties are going to come in, whether it be in our life, someone that we care about, even within our nation. And the tendency would be to allow the anger to begin to come in. But we realize that holding on to that anger, it doesn't bring that right wiseness of God, that righteousness of God into our life. We begin to go based on what our emotions are leading us to think and to do. So he begins to say in verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness, you could say all other agendas and all other ways of thinking and cares that we would have had at one point, and all that remains of wickedness, there's a key phrase in there, in humility. There has to be an aspect of it as we begin to encounter these trials of going, you know, and I was talking with the ladies in a study yesterday, you go to that Matthew 5, that poor in spirit, God, I don't even know what to do next, but I know you do. And we begin to come to him and go, the answer is not found in me. It's not found in this world. And what begins to happen as a result of that? He says, in humility, receive the word implanted. It's a great word, receive, that it actually means to embrace. There's an aspect of it to make it your own. You begin to have the word of God coming in and you go, I want that to be my own. God begins to pour out those answers from his word. You go, I want that to be what begins to be done in my life. I want that to be a part of my walk with him. And he says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And he'll say, but prove yourself doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. So we were talking about even at the last praise night, this aspect of not just saying that we believe, but do we actually then live it out? Do we obey what God begins to tell us? You go down, it tells us verse 25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, that which would be bringing maturity into our way of thinking and into our life, the law of liberty, that which would free us from all of those other ways of thinking that would leave us tossed and turned, all of those other divided affections that were in our life, and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Blessed, beginning to say, there's actually going to be, remember that considering it joy, there's actually going to be happiness. The word blessed begins to come in, but it's that which is a true happiness and an enduring happiness that begins to come in from that word. It doesn't say in verse 2, if you encounter various trials. It says when. And there may be some of us right now, many of us, that are going through different types of trials. Whatever it is, there comes that point as we begin to encounter it. One, who are we crying out to? And if we are crying out to the one we should, crying out to our Heavenly Father, are we believing, are we loving Him above everything else? Or is our affection divided? Because that's going to lead us to being pulled in so many different directions. It's going to feel like you're on that choppy ocean. But if we'll just singularly just focus Him on Him, our love will be on Him. We won't have that multiplicity of affections beginning to come in. You begin to then go, okay, not only do I want to trust Him in this, but I want to obey. And it's like there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. There's a VBS coming in a few months. We'll get the songs beginning to come in. But there is those very simplistic reminders. You want joy in the midst of the trial? Believe God loves you, trust Him, and obey what He tells you is right. You watch that joy and happiness come in. It'll be indescribable, inexplicable. It'll be a peace that passes understanding. But there's a point in time that you've got to consider. Are you going to make Him everything in your life? Or are we going to hold on to these other things? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for the love that You have for us. We realize that we can't love without Your love. And so, Lord, we thank You that You would rescue us out of the domain of darkness, that You would bring us into Your kingdom, that, Lord, You would give an invitation to whosoever would call upon Your name. Lord, You begin to bring us into different situations in our life, not to cause us harm, but to actually bring good into our life, to bring us to a point of maturity and trust and faith into Your love. Lord, may we not see the difficulties that come in our midst as a bad thing, but rather that which is going to draw us closer to You. If we'll but trust You and obey, we'll see Your joy and Your peace poured out in our lives. We thank You for Your promises that are steadfast and true. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.